This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you everybody for tuning in today. One of my favorite shows about to take place. We only had our guest today, Robin Jackson, on one time before, I believe. Right, Robin?
You are right, Rick.
And I've received multiple requests for, when is Robin coming back on again? I'd love that show on manners. You didn't ask this question, though. I'm like, you know, we have a phone line. Write it down. 434-979-0919. Being someone who always flutters about and makes mistakes, I have plenty of questions about manners and etiquette and civility all on my own, but you're welcome to bring yours. Robin Jackson, director of the Civility School here in the Charlottesville area. You can also find the Civility School on Facebook. Check it out. As well as your own internet page, correct?
That's right. Yep. www, although my son says I should no longer say the www because that makes me sound old. TheCivilitySchool.com.
Obviously, your son could use a little manners check there.
Right,
you don't tell
exactly,
that to everybody.
Exactly. You
hey,
see?
You lady at the checkout line, you sound kind of old. How old are you anyway?
It's a long process.
But again, we'll be talking about manners and etiquette with Robin Jackson, the director of the Civility School here in the Charlottesville area. Robin, thank you so much for being back on today.
Thanks so much for having me back, Rick. I really enjoy it here.
Well, great. Thank you for the compliment. And that's one of the things I have later in the show, or we'll do it right now.
Sure.
How do you accept a compliment? Because there are many people who just sort of, you know, get all nervous, like, oh, you know, you don't need to say that, thank you. And then others who turn sort of boastful. What's the proper way to accept a compliment?
The proper way to accept a compliment is to consider it a gift. It's a gift from somebody. For somebody to say something nice to you is a gift. So you should simply say thank you. You shouldn't downplay the compliment. You shouldn't say, oh, this old thing. You should just simply say thank you. It's a gift.
See, we've already learned something in just a few seconds here from Robin. This is WNRN 91.9 and Richmond's 103.1. You're welcome to call up with your question. Do we take comments during a show on etiquette?
Sure. Absolutely. All right. I like comments.
There we go. So ring us up. You know, Robin, as I'm doing my homework on the show, the word empathy continues to come up, but I'm not sure. Explain to me how empathy is part of manners.
Well, you know, Rick, I think the things that most people think of when they think of manners and etiquette are really just the way we show what I consider the more basic foundation, which is empathy, kindness, anticipating the needs of others, really just being here so that others feel more comfortable around us. The motto of the Civility School is for the comfort and convenience of others. So getting out of our personal bubble and really thinking of how our presence affects others is what's truly important. The great thing about empathy is that you can be in a situation where you may not know the exact rules of etiquette in that culture or in that venue or with that particular institution. But if you really have sharply honed powers of empathy, you can tune in and kind of get a feeling for how your behavior is affecting others. So I think making sure that we have all that under control before we teach specific rules of etiquette is really important.
And at the Civility School, you teach groups of a widely distinct age group, right? You start at, I want to say, 5 or 6, and you go, you've done groups with older adults in on food. Anyway, do your thing. Tell me.
Well, I'd say that the two most popular age groups are the 5 to 8 year olds and the 9 to 12 year olds. I teach a lot of children in those age ranges. I also work with preschoolers on a fairly regular basis. I do a cotillion group, which is middle schoolers. And then I do get to work with the teenagers, but that's a little bit more difficult. It's very difficult for parents to get their teenagers to some place called the civility school, which I understand. I do have a curriculum. It's called Preparing to Launch. It's a good curriculum. I just don't get to teach it a lot. I do a lot of college interview preparation, college preparation, athletic recruitment preparation, that kind of thing. And then I do work with adults in business settings. I work with adults in social settings. You know, really, truly, it's something that you can never practice enough. The things that I teach, the social skills and the emphasis on kindness and empathy.
Let's not assume that everyone is Southern enough to know what a cotillion is.
Ah, good point. Good point. So cotillion, I a few years ago, took over the Jefferson Cotillion. We are going into our 36th year. The Jefferson Cotillion was run beautifully by Frances Lee and her daughter-in-law, Arlene Lee. It was not something when I opened the Civility School that I really had given much thought to, although my children had certainly gone through the Jefferson Cotillion. Cotillion is a series of dance classes, but it's a lot more than that. So we teach 4 dance steps that are dance steps that can kind of carry children through social situations. But we also work really hard at teaching dance floor etiquette, how to be kind to your dance partner, even if he or she is stepping on your toes, how to ask somebody to dance with you. We actually go into a little bit of date etiquette, how to ask someone on a date, how to behave on a date, which I think is pretty important, how to take somebody out to dinner. And then we do a dining etiquette, a little bit more formal dining etiquette class than I offer in my modern manners classes. But the point about cotillion that I think is most important is, and I read an article about this, and I wish I could cite the name of the author because it was a great article, but he talked a little bit about the demarcations of intimacy. And I think it's really important for children of any age, but particularly when they're in that 12 to 13-year-old age, they're learning to approach one another in a really polite, lovely way. You know, it usually starts out that particularly the boys, are standing with their dance partners as if their dance partners aren't there. They're afraid to actually put their hands on their dance partner. So it does take some gentle encouragement and a little bit of humor to make it a comfortable situation. But I like that they're learning to be around each other in a really accepting, comfortable environment.
Our guest today, Robin Jackson, director of the Civility School here in the Charlottesville area, talking about manners, etiquette. So, Robin, manners have changed over, I don't know if they have changed over the last decade or two, but certainly over our age range. Are there any manners that are still discussed and talked about and the parents say to the child that may be antiquated?
Well, you know, let me just take a moment and say there's a difference between manners and etiquette. So manners are the way we treat each other. And those are pretty basic from culture to culture. Not always consistent, but a little bit basic. And etiquette, rules of etiquette, change depending upon the era or the culture. So there is a little bit of a difference there. Yes, there are some rules of etiquette that some people find antiquated, some things that I think have to change a little bit. Chivalry is one area that is kind of difficult to teach.
I no longer have to lay down my coat over right. the mud puddle.
Well, I would appreciate that, Rick, if you could do that for
you
me.
You have on white but today. That might play a role in my behavior.
But, yeah, it's really interesting. What you might still feel very comfortable and what might be expected in a social situation is not what would be necessarily appropriate in a business situation. So a man pulling out a chair for his date or for another woman at a dinner table in a social situation is pretty still very accepted, and in some parts of the country really expected, some parts of the world. Pulling out a chair, a male pulling out a chair for his female associate in the business world at a business lunch may take on something, take on a different meaning that he doesn't necessarily want to put out there. So it is interesting. Those things are always evolving, and I think it really depends on the person. It depends on the situation. It depends on where you are. This is just another reason that learning how to differentiate these things and to be empathetic and understand your situation is really important.
11:10 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. So let's talk about a couple specific topics. Food is a major point of teaching and learning at the civility school.
Absolutely.
So talk about why and some of the specific challenges that go with that. And please make sure to include difficult foods. Always one of my favorite points.
It is fun. I have to say that's a fun part of my job, especially when it comes to the 4 and 5 year olds. So dining etiquette has there's actually a lot more to it than I think I ever even knew before I started this business. There are wonderful stories, the history of how certain seemingly odd etiquette rules came into being. So there's history. But really, quite frankly, a lot of dining etiquette rules have a lot to do with safety. They have a lot to do with, you know, you don't want to choke on your food and you don't want to spill things all over yourself. Maybe that's not a safety issue. So safety is one of the areas. History is one of the areas. And then again, just learning to make those around you feel comfortable. If you're talking to your dinner partner and your mouth is wide open, you're probably not making that person feel very comfortable. Or if you're slurping your soup, you're probably not making your dinner partner very comfortable. Now, on the other hand, you know, we need to be accepting of one another. So I do teach that if people commit some kind of dining faux pas, that they are not to pay a lot of attention to it. And I think I have some friends in this area who will remember a dinner at a very formal dining room with a white tablecloth, and I had red wine in my mouth, and somebody said something funny, and I spit it all over the whole table. So it's a really personal issue for me.
Or after you had opened the civility school?
Oh, I owned the civility school, and a couple at this table had a child enrolled in the civility school. So I see it as a really important thing, not to make other people feel bad, but to realize that we're trying to make other people feel comfortable, we're trying to make it safe. And I think for Americans, another thing to consider is that it would be nice to slow down our meals a little bit. I think we've learned that we tend to rush through our meals, which isn't very healthy. It's not very socially, it's just not good for social situations. So learning rules of etiquette help us slow down a little bit.
You talk about safety. So let's go to the knife and fork.
Yes.
People often trying to identify which fork is which. Why do we have so many forks? The knife needs to be, is, I believe, supposed to be turned in one particular way on the table. Talk about knife and fork.
Okay. Well, there is a lot of history around the progression of having a dinner knife and a fork at the table, you know, years and years and years, thousands of years ago. And still in some parts of the world, obviously people eat with a hand and they might eat directly off their off their knife. And in the medieval times, people ate directly off a very sharp knife that was not anywhere near a dinner knife, more like a dagger. And they ate with their hands, they ate with their dagger. And if someone at your table or near you threatened you in any way, then you could lay down a challenge by putting the blade of the knife down on the table, pointing toward that person. So the rule of etiquette became that, of course, one would not put the blade of the knife down pointing towards somebody else unless they really wanted trouble at the dinner table. So you see, there's a lot more to this etiquette thing than just arbitrary rules.
Now, do you teach the kids this? Do you have any challenges at the school between the two eight-year-old boys
who
find this funny enough to, at least during the start of the class, to point their knife this way?
Absolutely. And, you know, they think that I've never seen that before, that it should be a fresh, funny kind of a situation.
I wouldn't be the first to do school.
Unfortunately, Rick, no. No, you wouldn't.
And so what would you teach me from that point?
That humor is fine. And we actually, in the social skills part of our class, we have what I call the annoying to charming continuum. And we put it up on the board. And I would say, at this point, are you being charming or annoying? And every other member of the class will say, annoying. And they learn in that way that, you know, you can make a joke once, but once somebody's heard it a couple to a thousand times, it's no longer charming. It's annoying.
Difficult foods.
Yes.
Because I was surprised, and certainly I think for many people, the thoughts that come to mind are soup.
Yes.
Spaghetti.
Absolutely.
But bread, a bread roll, I found, also seemed to qualify as a difficult food in your class.
Yes.
Talk about the three.
Well, Rick, have you ever watched somebody eat a dinner roll? Have you ever taken notice of the different ways that people eat dinner rolls?
Yes.
So I just want to ask you, how do you eat your dinner roll?
Depending on whether or not I'm interested in the butter that night, I'll cut my roll in half, sort of a sandwich bread thing, which I know from reading the webpage is not necessarily the proper way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put some butter on the entire roll.
A butter sandwich.
And then pick at it as I choose to eat through my meal, because I don't want to inhale the entire roll on to, I'm not eating it as though it's the pre-entree bread.
Right.
I'm enjoying my protein, my vegetables, and my carbohydrates all throughout the meal together.
That is very good. You should try a little bit of each part of your meal, a little bit at a time, not all of one food and then another food. But the dinner roll, I will have to say, you do not cut it with your knife. You use your fingers, which is kind of fun, especially if you're an 8-year-old. But I think we all like that. So you cut, you tear it. Excuse me, you tear it in half, not like a hamburger roll, but just in the middle. And then you butter small pieces one at a time on the bread plate, not up in the air. And then you eat your roll. But what I say to everybody is that, you know, this is not neurosurgery, and that if we mess up a little bit, thankfully the patient will not die.
But what if I don't have access to the butter for the entire roll? You know, I'm not at the dinner restaurant where I have my little Land O'Lakes cubes.
Yes.
But instead, there's the one butter. And every time I have to say, can you pass me the butter?
Oh, right. Oh,
can
no,
you pass
I'm sorry.
Me the butter?
Make that
and
clear.
The person next to me is going, good Lord, will you please just slather the roll and move on?
Okay. I didn't make that clear. You cut a little bit of butter off of the butter. What is that?
The butter log.
I don't know that it's a log, but yes, the
butter stick.
Stick. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. You cut a little bit of butter off the stick with the table butter knife, or if you have individual butter knives, you would use your individual butter knife and put it on your bread plate. And then you would hopefully know in advance the amount of butter you will require during the course of your meal. And then it's there for you.
Robin Jackson here. We're talking about manners and etiquette. You're welcome to call with your question about what do you do in this situation, or my family member or neighbor or roommate does this. How should I solve that problem?
No names, please.
No names, please. Oh, well, Robin Jackson here from the Civility School will help you with your problem. 434-979-0919.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
The Markets of Tiger Fuel Company. Homegrown since 1982, you can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street.
The Jefferson Theater presenting Ashley Monroe and special guest Striking Matches on Wednesday, July 9th. Tickets for country singer Ashley Monroe of Pistol Annie's fame on the 9th can be purchased at jeffersontheater.com. Ashley Monroe, Wednesday the 9th at the Jefferson Theater.
Three Penny Cafe at 420 West Main Street, serving up artisan pizzas, eclectic entrees, and appetizers. This summer, you can enjoy live music and Three Penny's pet-friendly patio. Latin brunch served Saturday and Sunday. You can find Three Penny Cafe on Facebook, Twitter, and at threepennycafe.com.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you today for being with us. Robin Jackson here from the Charlottesville Civility School. You can find them online, thecivilityschool.com, as well as on a Facebook page. Check it out. Questions for Robin about what to do? And I see the phone line ringing now, 434-979-0919. Robin, we were talking about difficult foods, soup and spaghetti.
Yes. Soup, you scoop away from yourself, not toward yourself. And, of course, then the inevitable question or the comment made by the 12-year-old boy is, well, I know you scoop away from yourself so you don't splash yourself, but then I'm going to splash everybody else. That's the routine response to that. And I say, well, if you're sitting that closely to that person, then they probably deserve to be splashed. But you scoop away, and you eat from the side of the soup spoon. You don't stick it directly in your mouth. Spaghetti. There are three correct ways to eat spaghetti. One is to just simply cut it. The second way is what is the way that most of us in America eat spaghetti, which is to twirl it a little bit along across your plate and then cut off the ends with your dinner knife. And the third way is how most people in Europe eat spaghetti, which is to twirl it along the inside bowl part of your pasta spoon or your soup spoon. And then the trick there is to use the side of the spoon to actually cut off the edges so you're not slurping them into your mouth.
Is that the most difficult food for you to teach those at the Civility School?
No, I honestly, it is the dinner roll. Whether I'm working with adults or children, the dinner roll is...
Because everyone makes a butter sandwich?
Everybody makes a butter sandwich, yes. And people really get into their dinner roll. You would not... There's a lot of enjoyment of bread up there.
Let's take a call. We have Jennifer. Jennifer, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Your question for Robin Jackson from the Civility School.
Hi, Robin Jackson. I love you.
Hi, Jennifer.
I love reading your posts on Facebook, Miss Civility.
Thank you.
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
How do you tell a significant other you have a smacker when they're eating at home with you?
Oh.
They just, and you don't want to sound like a nag.
Yes.
But how do you, without sounding like said horse, try to get your significant other to have a little more manners at home. They seem to have them out in public, but
yes,
not at home at the table.
I think, Jennifer, I'm going to let you go so the phone line's open, okay?
Sure.
Jennifer, are we still on?
Nope, Jennifer is listening to us now.
Okay, Jennifer, you want to make sure at a time that you are not actually eating that you bring this to your spouse's attention, but not when you're actually having the meal. You want to find another time that you do that. And or you may want to find an article like an article online, something like that, and just say, let's try this. These are some things, and work on it together. So make this person not feel like he's being pointed out, that you're not singling him out.
Couple or a family.
A couple or a family. I've had people ask me, I have a little dining checklist, and I've had families have a contest at the table to use the dining checklist and make sure that everybody's playing along, so to speak. So I'm glad to provide you with that, Jennifer.
And people, the blog that Jennifer brought up, where is that?
Well, I don't actually have a blog. I do a lot of posting on Facebook, so people probably feel that I have a blog. But there's a lot on the Civility School Facebook page.
All right. Jennifer, thanks for the call. The phone line's open. Again, 434-979-0919. Robin Jackson, director of the Civility School, thecivilityschool.com. You can also find the Civility School on Facebook and make them your friend. So we've been talking about foods, and I want to ask another question or two. So I was recently on a family vacation. It's always difficult to bring up issues with the family, but this one irked me, but I didn't say anything about it other than maybe some off time, like you mentioned, not at that time, and I sort of threw out a little comment about it and just let it go. There were, I don't remember how many people, let's say there were 14 people. We're at a big beach house. The table had 12 chairs. We have everyone from the age of 11 to 92. And instead of, and this is what I wanted, I thought that the two youngest in the group should have eaten at the bar.
Yes.
While the other 12 should have eaten at the table.
Yes.
Didn't work out that way. The last two in the line had to eat at the bar, even though it was in the 30s and 40s.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is something that I'm kind of on a kick about right now. And it's a difficult lesson to teach, but I teach deference, and I really emphasize it a lot. Deference is paying extra respect to your elders or to people who have a position of authority over you. I think it's been a tough lesson to teach, because we've certainly seen people abuse that. We've seen adults and people in authority abuse that privilege, the privilege of someone paying deference to them. So I'm very careful when I teach children about deference to say this certainly doesn't apply to anyone who is making you feel uncomfortable. So let me put that out there. But deference to people who are older than you, to the elders in your family, or to people who are your employers, your teachers, I think has really gotten a little bit lost in our society. And I think probably for good reasons. We've wanted to empower our children, which I certainly understand. But I think teaching children, and we do this all the time. In fact, it's a homework. I call our homework missions diplomatic missions, but it's a diplomatic mission in most of my classes, where children have to go home, and I have a list of ways that they can show deference to people in their family and in their community. And the situation that you just described is a prime example.
Claire, I see that you're on the line. Please hold on for just a sec. I want to ask Robin this question. So, Claire, don't go anywhere. I found this quote from you, Robin. We've tried so hard over the past 20 years to instill self-esteem in children that we have cultivated a narcissism. That
yes.
seems to fit into this space.
It does. And I don't mean narcissism with a capital N. I don't mean, you know, diagnosable narcissism, but I do mean narcissism with a small N. I think we've really gotten into our own little personal bubbles, and it's important to get out of those and really be aware of those around us.
All right, let me punch all the right buttons. Claire, are you with me?
I am.
Your question for Robin.
Okay, so my question is, my significant other and many of my guy friends in general, they tend to kind of guard their plate when they eat.
Oh.
And I'm wondering a nice way to say, hey, maybe put your arm in your lap and don't guard your entire plate.
Absolutely.
I promise not to steal anything off of it. That's the problem right there, is women always want to go, oh, I'd like a taste of that. Snap.
All right. That is such, yeah. Claire, thank you. That's a really good, good question. I do think a lot of people are very afraid that someone is going to take their food. So I teach that one of the questions you should never ask is, are you going to eat all that? And that you should never look overly interested in anybody else's food, even making a comment like, oh, that looks really good, when somebody else's plate comes to the table in a restaurant is probably not a good idea. But I think using humor in this situation is good. I think saying to these guys, look, nobody's going to take your food, I promise. You know, but pointing it out, because it is, it's really uncomfortable to eat with someone who looks like they're about ready to hit you if you take a French fry. And I think, you know, that guarded position is something they get in the habit of doing, and it isn't good. So they should have their napkin on their lap and whichever hand they're not eating with on their lap. But that's a
thank
great
you
question.
So much.
Sure. Thank you, Claire.
All right, Claire. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Phone line is open, 434-979-0919. Our guest today, Robin Jackson. She's the director of the Civility School. You can find them at thecivilityschool.com. You can find them on Facebook, The Civility School. Call up and ask your questions about manners or etiquette. Robin, Claire's question is a good, fair question.
Absolutely.
But as a guy, sometimes the woman won't order what she really wants.
You're right.
Because she's hoping to snag a bite or two or more from the male sitting
yes.
next to her
no,
or
you're
across
right.
from her.
What's exactly
the what's
right.
the proper etiquette about that? Does it flow both ways?
Yes. I think communication needs that. You need to clarify that right away. And women, nobody at the table should expect to share somebody else's food. It's a very primal thing to want to guard your food. And there shouldn't be that unless that was discussed during the ordering of the meal. And honestly, looking at somebody else's plate and saying that looks really good is just, it's really kind of a little bit rude. I mean, we don't think it is, but it does make someone feel like you're preying upon their food.
Let's talk about meeting people. We'll go through meeting people. I want to talk about interviewing, et cetera. But let's start with how to introduce someone.
Okay. If you're introducing two people who you know to each other, it's important to know that there is actually an order of introductions. So if two people are the same gender and roughly the same age, with adults, we're talking about maybe a decade, then it doesn't matter whose name you use first in the introduction. If you have two people and they're roughly the same age, but one's a woman, you use the woman's name first in the introduction. If you have two people and one's significantly older, you use that person's name. If you have somebody and two people and one it has a position of honor, use that person's name first. And then you have the tricky situations where you might have an elderly person and a person of honor. And that's, again, where you use your skills of empathy and kind of decide what would seem the most appropriate for that situation. And the best thing at all, if you're making introductions, please add a little something about the people you're introducing, because there are a lot of awkward situations where someone is introduced to someone else and then the person doing the introducing has to leave the situation. And people are left with that little awkward moment of looking at each other and only knowing each other's names.
So you're talking about adding a bit of conversational tip to it? Is that
Absolutely.
What you mean by that?
Absolutely. Give the two people a little bit of information about each other. Just a quick little tidbit so that when you have to remove yourself from the situation, if you do, they're not left just staring at each other and only knowing the name of the other person.
Rick Moore, he owns an old dog, and Robin Jackson, she runs the Civility School.
Exactly. I own an old dog, too, by the way.
We
yes.
could talk about that mm-hmm. for hours. But we'll save
yes,
everyone.
I could.
We'll say, right, if you have an old dog, that is hours and days of stories. But we'll save everybody from that. 11:33 on the wake-up call. You're welcome to call with your question or comment about manners and etiquette, civility, Robin Jackson here. She's the director of the Civility School. What you said, if you know both people, but, and this happens to me all the time, for whatever reason, people say it's because I, you know, you always get all the, oh, you just don't pay enough attention because you don't care. But I'm horrible at remembering names.
And that's fine.
People that I know come up to me and say, hey, what have you been doing? It happened at my oldest nephew graduated from high school last month, a big party in the town that I rarely go back to now except for family events. People come up to me, pat me on the shoulder. Some guy wants to talk about our old days and you know, that we did this and that. And I'm like, I have to go to my sister. Who is that? Who is that guy? Where in the, you know?
What? And that's great. If you have that reference, if you have someone you can go to and do it discreetly, that's wonderful. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I'm so sorry. I know I should know your name, but I've forgotten it. And that's much better than continuing on and kind of fudging your way through it. Because at some point, what's going to inevitably happen is someone else is going to walk into the situation and you're going to have to introduce those two people. And then you're going to look a little foolish. So I think owning up to it right away and saying, I'm so sorry, I know I should know your name, is an absolutely fine thing to do. And I do it a lot.
Oh, goodness. 11:35 here in the Wake Up Call. We'll be right back with Robin Jackson.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
the American Civil War Museum, exploring the causes for Confederacy, the struggle for union, and the fight for freedom from a variety of perspectives through interactive exhibits, educational programs, and rare artifacts. The American Civil War Museum, three sites in Richmond and Appomattox. Information at acwm.org.
Fardowners, local beer, local food, local music, and local vibe at the Square and Crozet. Fardowners hosts trivia on Monday night, sponsored by Star Hill Brewery. There's live music this weekend with Blackwater Stills on Friday. You can find the schedule at fardowners.com.
Hello, I'm Amy Whittemore from Literacy Volunteers. We are seeking volunteers to tutor local adults in reading, writing, or speaking English. Our next new tutor training is on Saturday, July 19th, 2014, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Jefferson School City Center. If you're interested in registering for tutor training or learning more, call 434-977-3838. I'm Amy, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for tuning in today for Independent Community Radio here on WNRN. Our guest again, Robin Jackson. She's the director of the Civility School. We're talking about manners and etiquette. Robin, I had someone who wanted me to ask this question, and it was something I remember speaking about, or the two of us talking about last year, which is, if you are hosting a party,
mm-hmm.
And someone brings you a bottle of wine,
yes,
typically you send a thank you note. Or
no,
do you not send
no,
a thank
you
note
do
because
not,
you've hosted the party?
Right. No, there's absolutely no need to send the bottle of wine is a thank you. So if you send a thank you note, you're sending a thank you for the thank you. And it really could go on. It could go on forever. So, no, it's nice if you feel the desire to do that. That's a lovely gesture, but it doesn't need to be done.
Yes, because it seemingly would go on forever.
Yes. Yes, it would make like a great Saturday Night Live skit or something like that. You know, the thank you for the thank you.
What
for
about
the
because this is something that happens nowadays, which is you are hosting a birthday party for your child and you make up a bag of different gifts to send home with the kids who arrive, and does that get a thank you from the kid's mother?
No, those are favor bags and they're just part of the party. They're kind of like a little thank you for coming to my child's party. And I think really probably the advent of favor bags is that moms who felt bad watching their child open gifts, they felt that they should compensate by sending those children home with gifts.
Yeah, well, I have my own thoughts on that, but it wouldn't be proper to speak those out loud. Again, 434-979-0919. If you have your question like Claire or Jennifer did earlier in the program, Robin Jackson here, director of the Civility School. So thank you notes.
Yes.
Let's talk about electronic manners and etiquette.
Okay.
Can I send my thank you note via email?
No. You may.
Is it proper etiquette?
But it's not enough. It's not enough, Rick. You may send that thank you note, and it's lovely. If you have a nice dinner and you want to text somebody or send an email so that they know very quickly how appreciative you are, that's a wonderful thing to do. And I think it's a great thing to do, but there should still be a written note to follow, and it should follow fairly quickly. You should be getting that in the mail as quickly as you can.
I typically send a thank you email to guests who appear on the program. I'm assuming that there's a line,
yes,
of what the gift or favor that was done is that requires a written thank you note versus what is appropriate to just send an email.
Yes, and I think we can all kind of figure that out. But I think if you really want to make an impression on somebody, a handwritten note is never wrong. So I think it's a good thing. And I think you're right. In business, we do tend to do a lot more with email. But I think to really go one step further and write a note is a nice thing. It shows a personal touch that we don't really get to see very much anymore.
What is the length of time if I send an email, not a thank you note, but just an email?
Yes.
Or a text. What is the appropriate turnaround time? Because I think for many people, possibly different age groups, that if you send an email or a text, the waiting time is thought that it should be done much more quickly.
Yes. Well, I think we all know that texts are for much more immediate response. So if you had a guest and you wanted to text them, you would text them immediately. Maybe even, they might get a little text on their drive home saying, thank you so much, that was a great show. Or if somebody had you to dinner, thank you so much, I really had a great time at dinner. So I think a text is much more of an immediate type of a thing. It would be a little odd, I think, to receive a text from somebody a week or 2 weeks after the event. And then emails kind of in the middle. You could do that the next day.
But what about an incoming? If I were to send, unrelated to a thank you for the party.
Yes.
But during my work day.
Yes.
Or even during my downtime in the evening, if I were to send, if I were to initiate the text.
Yes.
Or if I were to initiate an email, hey, how are you? Or just send an email, oh, what do you, are you available 2 weeks from now to be on the show?
Oh, you're looking for response time.
Yes, we'll make this very personal. I don't know what other people's, but I send an email out that says, hey, are you available to do a show on August 1st?
Yes.
Or, hey, what are you doing tonight?
Yes.
What is the expected response time? What is a fair response time for the recipient?
I always tell everybody 24 hours. You have 24 hours. I think with a text, it's a little quicker. I would say, 12 hours. But an email, it is 24 hours. You should be responding to these emails within 24 hours. And I think the most important thing is to communicate with someone. So if you receive an email and you know that you can't get to it within 24 hours, send an email saying, I'm so sorry, I can't give you a response right away, but I will respond within 3 days. I think it's leaving people hanging that is the really inconsiderate part. I think most people are very understanding that we're busy. We have a lot of incoming information to which we need to respond. But I think keeping the communication there is important. So, and it takes very little time, if we're to be honest, to shoot somebody an email saying, I received your email. Thank you so much. I will get back with you within 3 days.
Manners and etiquette and civility with our guest today, Robin Jackson, the director of Charlottesville's Civility School. If you have a question or a comment, phone lines open 434-979-0919. Robin, you came in today and everyone welcomed one another. And I would think that as your role as a director of the Civility School, once you show up, people immediately get nervous about how the proper way to shake hands and say good day. How do you teach the kids?
You mean to say hello?
Yes, and shake hands.
Yes, well, it's
because I would assume that even many, a large percentage of the adults that you meet for the first time or for first time in a while, that's the thing that's going through their head. Oh, I need to shake hands properly.
Yes. Well, with children, it's amazing. I think parents do an incredibly good job with teaching their children to shake hands. I think we must all as parents know that that's an important thing, because I've really honestly never met a child who doesn't know how to shake a hand, even very young children. But to do it correctly, you know that your hands need to fit together like puzzle pieces. You know that the handshake needs to be firm, whether it's a man or a woman. You know, men used to be taught not to shake a woman's hand all that firmly, and we've moved beyond that in the world of etiquette. We've also moved beyond men expecting women to extend their hand first. So men can feel comfortable extending their hand to a woman for a handshake.
Again, Robin Jackson here. As I'm learning about manners and etiquette and things that I do wrong on a regular basis by making a butter sandwich with my dinner roll. Do you find that older generations comment about these kids today, they don't know how to behave properly. They don't know, they've lost their manners.
Yes. Yes. People say that all the time. I think a lot of us might feel that the biggest culprit is electronics. And I really feel differently about that. I think the way we react to certain technology is obviously different from technology to technology. If you look at when telephones, just regular old telephones and TVs were part of the household, people were afraid that you were letting the public in. You were letting the public in. You were ruining the sanctity of the family and of the home. And now we kind of have the opposite. We're bringing our private lives out into the world. And instead of bringing things in, we're kind of closing ourselves off a little bit when we're out in public. So I think technology changes, the challenges change, but I don't think it's anything new. We always will have challenges. But yes, people say that all the time.
Let's talk about more adult issues for a moment, such as tips on job interviews.
Yes.
Because this is I don't know what percentage of your classes this is, but I know that you have regular events at the university.
Yes.
And businesses as well.
Yes. So I work a lot with college students on professional etiquette, preparing for the job interview, preparing to present themselves to the public. You know, they've been in most college students obviously live in a fairly cloistered environment where a lot is accepted and people are very broad-minded and they're taught to explore. And I think that's wonderful. But then they go into these very professional situations and they have to straighten up, pretty quickly. So we talk about doing, as someone about to interview, there's a lot of research that these students should be doing. They should not be walking in thinking that this is about someone trying to find out about them. It really should be about them knowing as much as they can about even the person who will be interviewing them, if they can find that out. So I talk a lot about the work that needs to be done. And then, of course, we talk about things that seem very basic, like first impressions. But you know, by the time a lot of students have finished 4 years of college, they're sometimes mistakenly under the impression that first impressions are not that important, that someone should be, really delving into their character and to all that they have learned. And that's wonderful, and that's a wonderful idealistic notion, but first impressions do matter.
And so at the job interview,
yes,
after you've made your first impression,
yes,
what is the proper behavior for, or the good manners and etiquette in terms of answering questions? What if this came up during our trip? Because, and again, we talking about, you know, me as an old grandpa standing saying that these kids today, but we were talking about my youngest nephew, and he was taking a picture of something, and the conversation came about, you need to be careful if you post that and deleting it. Oh, I can delete it. No, you can't. It'll follow you around for life. When your potential employer asks for your password,
yes,
because they would like to check your Facebook page or whatever,
yes,
other social media to see your behavior when your suit and tie come off.
Yes. Well, you know, I've not actually honestly heard any stories of employers or colleges or graduate programs actually asking for the password. But I it is very clear, and I've talked with people who are employers who take the time to look at whatever is public on somebody's Facebook page, and it's amazing what you will find on some students' Facebook pages. You know, I heard a story from one employer who
bag of pot was less expensive today.
Well, no, I mean, really, honestly, potential employer went on to a young person's Facebook page, and there was a picture of the student smoking pot in the picture. The friends made comments, and clearly this was not going to go over really very well with the potential employer.
Are there different, or rephrase that, because there are different manners, expected manners, and bits of etiquette around the globe, do you teach, do you have any classes for those? Because I would think that some at the university, if they're graduating, are considering jobs in the government where they may travel a lot.
Absolutely. No, I do that. That's a big part of what I do with both students and with businesses. So I've had businesses who routinely have events with dignitaries and people from other countries. So we do a lot of work on very seemingly simple things like gestures, things that are fine in the U.S. that really are quite frowned upon in other countries. Gestures, things, then eating utensils, how to use chopsticks, how certain countries think about putting one hand in your lap while you eat or both hands in your lap versus on the table. I mean, there's a lot. And thankfully, there are a lot of good resources out there for this.
What about it just in the United States? I mean, one bit of behavior in Atlanta, to be somewhat southern, might be quite different than in San Francisco.
Absolutely. And I think you and I talked about this last time, and I think maybe it's overly discussed, but the sir and ma'am bit, the yes sir and the yes ma'am.
I still use that for almost all of my parents' friends. It's Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Pat, Mr. Ward or Mr. Ronnie, mm-hmm, and Miss Pat.
And if you were to use that in some parts of the country, you might get laughed at. You might, they may not understand that. But also the ma'am and sir in some parts of the country is really frowned upon. It's really seen as being obsequious. It's not something that's really accepted in certain parts of the country. And then you have children who are taught that they must use it in other parts of the country. There was a student at a local school who actually the teacher said, please don't use ma'am with me. I'm not comfortable with it. The child had been taught by parents and grandparents to always use sir and ma'am, and the child actually was sent to the principal for continuing to use that. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a very simple little example, but I think it does speak volumes.
At my age, should I still be saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am? I mean, much like this young child you're talking about, it's ingrained. And I have to pause before not doing it in many circumstances.
And, you know, that's what I actually teach my own children, that I would like them to use sir and ma'am where it is appropriate. And we've discussed where that is appropriate and where that is expected and where that's seen as respectful. And then in other environments where it's not seen as respectful, they need to be aware of that. So they need to keep their eyes and ears open. And again, you know, this is where stepping out of one's personal bubble comes in handy. And see where it's considered respectful and where it's considered a little bit cheeky. They don't want to be cheeky.
Just a few minutes left with Robin Jackson from the Civility School. Here's one. I think I found babysitting etiquette on the website, but I also heard a story on the radio just in the last day or so about how the woman was telling a story about her and her boyfriend going to babysit, and the understood rule was that the babysitter could eat anything that they wanted there. But the man, the male, didn't believe that, and he wasn't very comfortable with that happening.
Yes.
So what is babysitting etiquette?
Well, babysitting etiquette is really leaving someone's home and their child better off than when you arrived. So the child should really get something from you that they maybe wouldn't get from the parents. Maybe you're going to sit and really play and truly have fun with that child. The house should be neater than it was when the parents left. And quite frankly, even if someone says you may eat whatever you'd like, you still need to be mindful of not abusing that privilege.
Don't find the lobster.
Right. Don't go into the freezer and find the lobster and cook it.
Would you say that this other story was accurate and that the expectation is that even if you don't overdo it, it's the understood rule of babysitting is that thank you for coming. We're still paying you by the hour, but eat what you want?
I guess that would depend on the situation, but I think it's up to the babysitter to be mindful that this isn't his or her house and that whatever you want really does vary from person to person. I can tell you without, I think my 18-year-old wouldn't mind me saying that him eating whatever he wants might be a lot different than, you know.
Than a 14-year-old girl eating.
Yes,
you're talking
exactly.
About quantity.
Yes. Yeah, well, and quality.
And quality.
Quality, quantity.
So you've taught him to know what the good foods are.
Well, I don't know about that. I just, you know, I wouldn't want him to go into someone's house and be told that he could eat whatever he wanted. I would not want him to actually do that.
11:57. Here on the wake-up call, just a couple minutes left with Robin Jackson, director of the Civility School. You can find her online at thecivilityschool.com. Facebook page, The Civility School. Robin, before I forget, current classes or upcoming classes that people can consider signing up for?
Absolutely. We have new sessions of Modern Manners for ages 5 through 8 and 9 through 12 starting the week of August 18th. I know that a lot of schools don't start until the following week. So if students can't make the first week, I'll be holding makeups for them. And Jefferson Cotillion dates are on the website. I also send out invitations to people on my mailing list, but an invitation is certainly not required.
So here's an appropriate question as we finish up the hour. How to continue or end a conversation?
Well, it's important to know that whoever starts the conversation, whether on telephone or in person, is responsible for ending the conversation. And it can be done really very well, or it can be an awkward situation. Some people really have not mastered that. So in our classes, we actually role play ways to say, oh, thank you so much. It was really nice talking with you. I need to run. You know, just little conversational smoothers like that.
Ooh, what about when the other person isn't quite done? Oh, I need to run. Well, wait just a second. I really need to ask you this question.
Well, you know, there's a saying, and I don't know who says it, but it is true that having good manners means putting up with someone else's poor manners. So if someone is not reading your body language or reading your actual verbal language, you need to be patient.
Really? And when does the patience run out?
Well, sometimes you must go, and then you might need to use a little humor, or you might need to actually use a little please indulge me type of comment.
Like, I'll call you back next month if you'll let me go now.
No, that's more of a, I don't think that usually works, but I think a little please indulge me, or one of the best is a giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. Oh, I'm so sorry, you must not have.
You didn't understand me the first time.
You didn't understand me the first time, but I think you can find a nicer way to say that.
Yes, that's when I go, I need to pee. Can you please let me out?
I wouldn't suggest that.
No, well, that's why you're here, to help me with my manners and etiquette. Robin Jackson from the Civility School. Robin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Rick, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Les Thames-Perdue, up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by The Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong and Max Cecilia Struther. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.